Amen and amen. Welcome back, young people. It's a beautiful time. It's a privileged time, and I hope you realize that there is probably a lot of people who want what you're getting and can't have it. I hope you realize that. There's a world, there's people that are looking for answers and struggling with their Christian walk and trying to find their way. And as the gospel says, in the last days there will be a shortage of the word of God. Not the word of God. The word of God is more prevalent than any other book, as the brother already mentioned this morning. But a lack of the real Christian. So yeah, it's a wonderful privilege to have you here. And I trust that you've had some good conversations this morning or this afternoon in your studies. And hope that you continue to not just take one step, but to continue after you've gone home from here, that you would continue in this direction. So today I want to talk to you about something that a lot of young people don't give enough attention to. And it's more to encourage you to move forward with thought, with purpose, with a vision, and that every step you take, you want to make sure that you're going in the right direction. And I titled my message, Decisions. And a lot of times we think, as young people, I was young once too. And I know how young people think. You're not any different. It's usually, when people are young, they think they got plenty of time. And maybe later I'll get my life in order. Not realizing that your life and your future is already being molded and shaped at a very young age. Habits are being formed. Character is being shaped. And the trajectory of your life is being developed. That's happening now. Even the tiny, tiny, tiny decisions we make every day are more important than most young people realize. They are. So the first scripture, I don't have a text that I'm going to, I'm just going to go through quite a few scripture, talk about it, and towards the end I'm going to focus in on one character in the Old Testament, the decisions he made and the outcome. So the first scripture today that I want you to learn and to memorize and apply to your daily decision-making process is found in James 3:17. And it says, and that's what we want to do, apply the wisdom of God to every decision we make. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. So we have to make sure that our thoughts are pure when we're making these decisions, and then peaceable. This is the mind of Christ. This is our God. Gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. If we apply this simple verse in James 3:17, I want you to write that down, to the decisions we make every day, we were guaranteed that we've made the right decision. And the average Christian usually has a desire to better their lives, but the problem is that they just don't know how to go about it. Therefore, the average believer suffers the same consequences. Don't think for 1 minute that if you make a bad decision, that you're not going to suffer the consequences. So the average believer suffers the same consequences as the unbeliever, going through the same panic, stress, heartaches, whatever. All in the same boat regarding knowledge of how to be successful and how to be victorious. And the Word of God is pretty clear when it says, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." Hosea 4:6. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. And your ignorance, our ignorance, is the strength of the enemy. That's exactly where he wants us, ignorant. And if we as Christians are not informed, then we will be conformed to the world, which will then deform the life and the well-being, our lives and our well-being. But once we are informed, we can be transformed to a life of that's what needs to happen. Not a reformation, a transformation. And the brother's going to talk quite a bit about that yet in his messages. So what do you really need to understand is that life that you are experiencing today, right now, is a result of decisions you've previously made. While you are young, a lot of the decisions are being made for you, and you are living the consequences. All of you here today are in an age where you are already responsible for your own decisions. And the most important thing you must realize is that attached to these decisions are consequences. There's just no way around this. This is a law that needs to be, that you can't change, just like you can't change the law of gravity. It's there and it works every time. Good decisions will trigger good consequences. And bad decisions will trigger bad consequences. Very simple. Decisions determine our destiny. So, that's the truth that we need to come to grips with. This means that you will need to make some quality decisions to get your life on the path of success and victory. And it starts at a very young age. Because it's shaped by the countless decisions we make every day. Every action we take, every decision we make, and every action we take is a decision not to make another one. Every single decision we make before, uh, Every single decision we made before this very moment shaped our life up until now. And right now, the decision to be here and what you will do with that, what you learn in this week, could alter the trajectory of your life. The brother mentioned that already this morning. It could alter the trajectory of your life. So every day, we make those decisions, big, small, and tiny. The problem is we often ignore the countless tiny decisions we make daily, and those tiny decisions are slowly nudging us in a trajectory, either away or closer to what we want to achieve, either away or closer to God. That's what's happening. And we all know that's how it works. Because even the habits we form. Take, for instance, if you eat some junk food today, well, it's no problem. If you continue doing that, pretty soon you're going to suffer the consequences. Same way is with all these decisions we make. And when we decide to watch something on your phone, we are deciding to take time away from whatever else we could be doing. Whatever it is, you are taking time away from the goal when you're scrolling through those endless Reels and shorts and TikToks. Who knows what and where our lives would be if we changed these habits? Who knows? God could do wonderful things. And but they're all choices. And another thing I want to add here, to do nothing is also a choice. To just let the world go by and not be engaged in the things of the kingdom, that's also a choice. Even if you don't do anything bad, even if you don't engage in questionable stuff, whatever, to do nothing is also a decision. And it also has consequences. Take, for instance, any great man or woman, for that matter, of old. Every one of them decided already at a young age. You can't wait until you're old to start doing something for the Lord. Because if you wait 20 years, well, you're 20 years behind. You can't catch up with lost days. Those lost days are gone. At a very young age, they started to serve God. Joseph, Daniel, David, the prophet, Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Of the women, Rachel, Sarah, Rebecca, Ruth, Esther, Deborah. All these are, and many others. And our ultimate example, Jesus Christ. Do you think that he came to earth with all the knowledge that he had? I believe he had to learn the scriptures just like we had to learn them. If not, he would not be in all things like we are. So he came, he had to learn the scriptures and to... It shows you it takes a long time to learn it. For 30 years, he was obedient unto his parents, did what was required of young men, learned, spent his time whenever he had in the temple, Where was he found at 12 years? We all know, sitting at the feet of the scribes, the teachers of the law. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul prayed that Christians might be strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And we need that to make proper decisions every day. The power, and the brother said in his opening words here, the incredible power that is available to the Christian. I don't believe, for the most part, we realize how much power there is there. So we are called to allow not only to make the right choices. See, a lot of people make choices, but then as time goes by, they backslide. So we are called to life to make the right decision, also to endure. Endure in the power of Christ. And that requires patience, because the reward for today's right decisions and choices will come eventually, but usually it takes months and years and sometimes decades. But the reward will come. And Paul challenges us to share in the suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:2-3. Soldiers expect hardship. It's just expected. In the war zone, there's no walk in the park. We expect hardship and the training to face it. In the same way, we must train to endure unto the end. That too is a training. That too doesn't come by itself. It's not something we do once and done. It's something that we need to decide to continue to do every day. And today's roadblocks and the distractions make endurance in our Christian life seem impossible. It really does. And I tell you, by our own strength, we will never do it. But with God, all things are possible. And our temptations aren't worse than those of the first centuries. Not by a long shot. Our temptations aren't worse than those at Corinth. But technology, computers, cell phones bring it into our pockets. Available to us. And what used to be found in the dark alleys is now available right now. You're only a click away. So, and that brings failures, even in the Christian world. We fail to realize that these decisions, these small decisions, actually have consequences. And if we fail to endure, we got countless examples in the world. There's no endurance in marriage. There's no endurance in even work. There's no endurance in church. Any part of life. And that has become normal. We've normalized it. The West has normalized failure to endure. A consistent long-term obedience without diversions into sin and unfruitfulness seems an impossible dream. Sin has become so common. It's expected. That if a believer does endure, they are either elevated as heroes or dismissed as legalists. We have grown up in a society, especially you young people, you've grown up in a disposable society. We use something and we toss it in the garbage. Everything is disposable. Whether it's paper plates or a spouse or church or commitments. The stick-it-out philosophy is a thing of the past. Something people long ago and far away once did. But we can't. But that's not what God has for his children. The essence of the Christian life cannot change with culture. We've heard some about that this morning as well. We cannot change with the culture around us. And Paul's word to the Colossians and Timothy are words to us. We should not shrink from hardship. We must endure it with patience and thanksgiving. We must follow Christ from start to finish. Repent quickly from our sins, moving forward to a deeper devotion. So we're either going forward or we're going backwards. Yes, there will be dry times. Every Christian has those times. But overall, if we make the right decisions and faithfully endure, the reward will be greater than we believe. Extending for generations. The Word of God is full of exhortation, warning, instruction of how to make the decisions. And Proverbs is a good, very good book to, there's a lot of gems in there to help us to make in our decision making. Just take for instance this one in Proverbs chapter 18 verse 1. It says, through desire, a man having separated himself, seek it and intermeddle it with all wisdom. This is the King James, a little bit hard to understand. But if we read it in a different version, it says, whosoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. Why do people want to isolate themselves? The Word of God said they seek their own desire. There's probably sin in their life. He breaks out against all sound judgment. You no longer have the safety of brothers, sisters to help steer you in the right direction. You're seeking your own desire. He who isolates himself seeks his own desire. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Again, if you're very opinionated, if you think you know it all, the Word of God says you're a fool. So, again, a decision to listen. Don't always think you know everything. These are the things that will change our lives. And the list goes on and on and on. And it would be good if we take it just one verse every day and meditate on it and try and ask God to help us in these areas. But there's a high point in the Rocky Mountains called the Continental Divide, at which the waters of a small stream separate. It would not seem to matter much whether this drop of water goes to the left or to the right. Doesn't matter much. But the outcome of those drops of water is totally different. One ends up in the Pacific Ocean, the other in the Atlantic. Two drops of water, two entirely different destinations. But one small turning point determined that outcome. And that's how many of our choices are. Just a tiny little diversion over here will get you a totally different outcome in the long run. Indeed, many choices of life are like that. At the time, they don't seem like much. This is not even worth repeating. But those choices set in motion a series of events which shape your life, the lives of your children, if you ever have any, and grandchildren after you. And if you want to talk about destiny, if you want to talk about the power of decisions and choices, just think about that. The original choice wasn't a big deal. The original decision wasn't a big deal, but the outcome was life-changing. Some people make unwise choices, aren't very big at all by any stretch of the imagination, but they lead to tragedies. A teenager may choose to ride with a friend who's been drinking, could result in death. One small decision. Another decides to have a drink at a party, resulting in letting down our self-consciousness, engaging in some ungodly activities. The examples are countless. How decisions can change our lives. If the case is that these seemingly small decisions can have such a great consequence, how can we protect ourselves? How can we protect ourselves from making these wrong choices? And I only have one answer. The Word of God. Now I want to get to this character I started out with, and that's the story of Lot and his choices. And in Genesis 13, 5 to 17, let's read a bit about it. Genesis 13, we'll start at 5. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, and that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me, for thou wilt take the left hand, I will go to the right, or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that they were well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou come unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other, and Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plains, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Then the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. The herdsmen of Lot and Abram were quarreling. Because there wasn't adequate land to support their flocks. And Lot made a choice. And that choice was the beginning of Lot's gradual but steady spiritual decline. Just look at it. First he looked towards Sodom. Then he moved his tents near Sodom. Then he moved his tent. Next, we find him living in Sodom. See the slow progression? Next, he's in Sodom. And finally, he's sitting in the gates of Sodom. He was a city official. Well, we all know the story. We've heard it countless times. He lost his wife, barely escaped with his own life. And his two daughters, and going off hiding in a cave where his daughter made him drunk and committed incest with him. The offspring of those disgraceful nights were the Moabites and the Ammonites, two of Israel's lasting enemies. All began when Lot's choice was to live near Sodom. Young people, you can't make these choices and think you can get away with it. The world will suck you in faster than you know what happened. There's a clear progression in this story, a very clear progression. He wasn't just deciding for himself. His family and many servants and their families would be affected by this decision. The increased responsibility for choices led to either increased wickedness, in Lot's case, by choosing Sodom, or increased blessing, in the case of Abraham. So many Christians decide and make decisions based on finances instead of spiritual reasons. Just like Judas, when he decided to be a thief, he made decisions based on finance and not for spiritual reasons. He chose for himself, he and his family paid an awful price. So we must choose right choices. And it's possible to gain the whole world and lose your soul. There is so much more to life than outward or material. We have to base our choice on God's word, not what the culture around us is doing. So there's a few suggestions for you, a few things that are guaranteed to work. When you do make your decisions, you have to choose which to make the choices where we value a relationship over rights. Abram had the right to choose whatever he wanted. He was older, he was the chief, but he let his younger nephew choose whatever he wanted to. Just to avoid strife, avoid conflict, and not to make enemies. In Romans, Paul said, let us pursue the things that make for peace, building up one another. That's a choice. We need to choose which to value fellowship with God over the approval of the word. If we blend in with the world, we lose both our fellowship with God and our witness to the world. Jesus was the friend of sinners, but he never sought the approval of the world. He was in the world with a clear sense and a mission to glorify God, to seek and save the lost. If we want to line up with Abram rather than with Lot, we must put fellowship with God above the approval of the world in all our decisions. Finally, make choices which value God instead of the next felt need. Because that's what we are taught from the world today. The next felt need. Lot's choice was based on bring quick gratification. Sounds a lot like modern society. Quick gratifications. We all want it right now. But Jesus said, seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Most of us want to seek the other things first. And then when we have exhausted everything else, to add the kingdom of God later in our spare time. It's not how it works. That's not how we get blessings. That's not how we will advance the kingdom. So the choices we make as a Christian, the choices you make today, needs to be the choice again tomorrow. We tend to think that Christian commitment as a bold decision to forsake everything and follow Jesus. There is, in a sense, of course, that is true. We must make that once and for all commitment. But Lot also did that. Lot also made that one-time decision. He followed Abraham out of Egypt. He left everything else behind as well. His problem is, like many Christians today, was in following through, walking step by step, closer to the Lord, depending on the Lord, saying no to the things of the world, and to have faith in the promises of God. So, these choices often result in eternal significance, eternal consequences. And the only, as I said before, the only suggestion I have is get yourself in the Word. It's there for, Paul said, it's there for our learning. That's what it's there for. All these mistakes, you don't have to do them again. You don't have to go and make the same mistakes all over again. They've already been made. Learn from them. Line up your life with the Word of God. Seek it. Handle it, as the brother said this morning. Handle the real thing, and you will not be deceived into all kinds of other deceptions. So the flesh is always against us. Our flesh is weak. Of our own selves, we can't do it. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to make these choices. So to sum up, make choices which value relationship over rights. Make choices which value fellowship with God, with the brethren, with the church, rather than trying to please the world. Make choices that value God instead of the next felt need. There is so many things that are competing for our attention, young people, I encourage you, be careful. Take the next step with eternity in mind. Your future, generations could be relying on that. And so many people, you know, they, something bad happens and they say, oh me, oh my, why is this happening to me? How come, why me? But if you trace it back, somewhere along the line, you made a wrong choice, just like Lot. He just made a choice. Abraham was probably a richer man than Lot. He had more money, more cattle, more silver, more gold than Lot. It's not that he was looking for riches. It was the decision to move closer to Sodom. To get influenced by the world. And that's where the diversion happened. And he ended up in a totally different ocean. So yes, I encourage you, because it's not easy. And when you find yourself making the wrong choice, repent quickly. Turn around. If you go down into the highway and you miss your turn, the only way to get back on track is turn around, come back, and then go the other direction. You can't just say, okay, I messed up here, I missed the turn, and just keep it going. You'll never get to where you want to go. Repent, turn around, come back. Just like the prodigal son. Turn around, come back, and God will have mercy. That's the way we rectify a bad decision. Repent of it, turn around, and come back, and go the totally opposite direction. So yes, that's my message for you, young people. Make wise choices. You are in control. I can't make any choices, not even for my own family. Every one of them has to make the choice. Sure, for a time I have to, and I will. But there comes a time, and you are of age, make the right choice. Do the right thing. Follow Christ. Follow after the things that make for peace. For in therein is life and peace. God bless you, and to God be the glory. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for our time together here this afternoon. And Lord, we know that the road that leads to heaven is narrow. There are decisions we make along the way all the time. There are things that try to distract us. There are things that try to get us off track. But we rely on you, Lord, that you will reveal them to us before it's too late. That we may turn around. Grant these young people in their young lives the wisdom, the understanding to make those decisions that will matter in eternity. To understand that the things of this world are but are so fleeting, so temporary, so insignificant. But the things that are for your kingdom are eternal, bring blessing and honor to you and to your name. Lord, do a work in these young people's lives that they might take the torch further, that they might inspire others with that light that is so needed in this world, to shine brightly as a beacon on a hill, to put the devil to flight. To make decisions that will bring glory and honor to you. We love you, Lord. We know your word does and can and will do miracles. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for everything that you do for us. We love you and bless you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.